Welcome to Nye's Notes. I'm Jerry Nye, the Bible Guy, going to continue what we left off in the last lesson, Romans chapter 8. We're starting in verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. God is omniscient. For whom he did foreknow, he means all-knowing. He knows all things. He knows all the time, all people. For whom he did foreknow. He knows all things before they happen. He knew you were going to be saved. He knew when it was going to happen, where you were, how it was going to happen, before it ever happened. He's God. He's omniscient. This is the foreknowledge of God. Because he knew beforehand, he predestinated you. He didn't predestinate you to be saved, as some teach. He predestinated you to be like his Son, Jesus Christ, to be conformed to the image of his Son, in verse 29. The Calvinists teach a different story, don't they? They say that the elect are predestined to be saved, and everyone else are predestined to go to hell. That's not so. That's not Bible. That's not Scripture. That's false doctrine. Biblical predestination only applies to the saved. Nowhere in Scripture does it teach that anyone is predestined to be eternally condemned in hell. Nowhere. God calls sinners to repentance. He calls all sinners to repentance. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. If the Calvinist doctors were true, then they'd have to cut this verse out of the Bible. He's not willing that any perish. The Calvinists don't believe that. It doesn't say not willing that the elect should perish, but that any should perish. He wants all to be saved, to be like his Son. He knows what will happen. In Matthew 7:13 and 14, enter into the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth into destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Few there be that find it. Now I want us to look back in verse 28, we did last lesson. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For good. What does this for good mean? God determines what is good for us. We don't always know what's good for us. What is good for us in the verse 28 is answered in verse 29. To be conformed to the image of his Son. One day, if you're saved, if you've been born again, if you've been regenerated, you're going to be conformed to the image of his Son. Conformed means to be fashion-like. Having the same form as another, image, the moral likeness of a renewed man of God, the most holy and blessed state of mind. Wow, one day we'll be like that. Don't feel like it much today, do we? If we always knew what is good for us in every situation and did it, we'd miss a lot of suffering and afflictions in this life. God uses these things to bring us to what is good. Now, what is good? What good can come from these things? God uses these things to direct us, to motivate us to change. He uses these things to inspect us. Some are like tea bags. You find out what they're made of when they get in hot water. To correct us. Some problems are for our fruit. To perfect us. To mature us. God is more interested in our character than our comfort. More interested in our character. He might be the firstborn among many brethren. In that verse, he is talking about Christ. The firstborn in a Hebrew family has many privileges and honors. Brethren tells us what family, Christian family, we are. We are related to the Father. We're generated by the same grace as everybody else, receiving the same inheritance with Christ. We should honor him as a firstborn. We honor him as a firstborn because he's the only begotten of the Father. He bore our sins on the cursed tree. We are redeemed by his blood. We are free from God's condemnation and wrath. We're transformed to his likeness. We will dwell in heaven with him forever. Though we'll be like him and share jointly in the inheritance, joiners with Christ, we'll live with him in heaven. There's still not an equality. He still reigns as the firstborn. He's the head. He's the ruler of all the family in heaven and in earth. Spurgeon said this, whenever we get to heaven, wherever we look, we will see either Christ himself or his likeness in his people. How much are we like Christ today? Do we need to look in the mirror of God's word? Can we do better? Can we say, Lord, I want to conform to be more like Christ than I am right now? Can we say, I'm willing, Lord, to let you make me willing to conform to Christ? In this last section of the Romans chapter 8, verse 30 through verse 39, concerns the care of the saints. Look at verse 30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. It's a troubling verse if it's not taken in context. Whom he did predestinate. Remember, predestination only applies to the saved. In predestination, speaking about conforming to the image of his son. We're not predestined to be saved or predestined to be lost, as the Calvinists teach. You'll notice in verse 29, verse 30, are in past tense, did, said. We have been predestinated. We have been called. We have been justified. God is sovereign. He can count things as done when they have not happened yet. We have been predestinated. We've been called. We have been justified. We haven't been glorified yet, but in God's eyes we have. It's as if we're already there. God knew we were going to be saved before it happened. God had a will for us before we were even born. He is God. He's omniscient. We are predestined to a glorious consummation. A consummation means to complete a finish, to reach a goal. In 2 Peter 3:9, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's his goal, that all men be saved and be like his son. All that we see in verse 30, predestination, calling, justification, glorification, hinges on the foreknowledge of God. So important that we understand that. Here's a statement by Warren Wiersbe. Those whom he chose, he called. I'm reading 2 Thessalonians 2:13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Now let's clarify this, because the Calvinists go to seed on this verse. By his foreknowledge, he chose those whom he knew would choose him. Let me say that again. Because of God's foreknowledge, he knew what would happen before it happened. He chose those whom he knew would choose him. He knew who would accept his call to be saved. In that sense, the saved are chosen people. But not as the Calvinists teach chosen. The Calvinists teach God chooses those who's going to go to heaven or those who's going to go to hell. God chose us because he knew beforehand by his foreknowledge that we would be saved. And he knew when it would happen, where we would be, all the details of the day or the night we got saved. They responded to his call. He justified them. And he also glorified them. The believer has already been glorified in God's eyes, even though it hasn't happened yet. John 17:22. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one. The consummation of this glory awaits his coming, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming, hope today. Now think about this truth. Our predestination and calling was in the past. Our justification is present. Our glorification is yet future, but to God it's already happened. In God's eyes we're already glorified and sitting in the heavenlies. Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. You don't have to go to heaven to enjoy heavenly places. You can do that in your car, going to work or school. Ephesians 2:6, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. We're already glorified in God's eyes. Verse 31, let me read that verse. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? What's our response to these truths? If God be for us, who can be against us? Who can overthrow God? Who's smarter than him? Who can beat him in a debate? Who can counsel him? Who can dethrone God? Who is against us? Satan and all the forces of hell, even the majority of the people today. We're a minority, friend. If you're saved, if you're a Christian, you're a minority. It doesn't matter if you're a minority or not. What matters is you're on the winning side if you're saved. Should we be afraid of anything if God's for us? I'm going to jump ahead to verse 37. We'll be back there. Verse 37 of Romans 8. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Freedom from fear. No condemnation, because we've been the righteousness of God imputed to us. No obligation to Satan because we're free from his control. No frustration because we share the glory of God. No limitation to our freedom because the truth has set us free. John 8:32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. How? Through sacrifice of his Christ, Jesus on the cross, and our payment for our sin. We're free from sin. Ephesians 4:21, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. He is the truth. And when you have him, you have truth. No separation because of the love of God. Romans 8:35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? We do not need to fear the past, the present, or the future because we are secure in the love of Christ. God is for us. I'm going to stop right there. Next time we'll pick up in verse 31. Friend, I hope you've enjoyed these lessons and we'll continue on in Romans chapter 8 as we further these podcasts. Keep looking up, friend. He's coming back. If you're not saved, trust him today. It might be too late tomorrow. God bless you. See you in the next lesson.